Hello and welcome, 8122 Podcast.
What is up?
Oh, you know, just chilling. I'm actually getting ready to go to a doctor's appointment with Charlotte, where she has to get her tongue tie fixed.
Her tongue tied?
Tongue tie fixed. No, so her... there's like skin or whatever. I don't technically know what it is, but there's extra tongue material that connects to the bottom of your mouth, and hers like ties it down way too much. So they have to go in there with a laser and cut off her skin. So that's going to be pretty horrible.
Oh no.
And like, you have to like exercise it, afterwards, like 6 times a day for like 5 months or something. So it doesn't like reconnect and,
oh no.
Yeah. So she's going to be in a lot of pain for a while, unfortunately, but for the long term of her life, it'll be a good thing. So,
I mean, she won't remember.
No,
she's not.
Yeah.
So that sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It'll be over with quickly, and hopefully she recovers fast. But I would imagine,
are you gonna have to like move her tongue?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. That's a bummer.
Yeah. So that is what I am doing this afternoon. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, except for I am not allowed to go inside because only one parent because of COVID. So
is it quick? Is it a quick thing?
Yeah, it's like it takes like a minute or something. So,
oh whoa,
yeah. But lots of pain.
But that's yeah. Okay. Oh no.
She will get through it. We will. I mean, there's not much you can give her right now because she's so young. But
yeah,
we will work through it. So yeah doing that.
I'll be thinking of the little tongue-tied gal.
Yeah. Today on the show, we are doing a Q&A episode, which we haven't done in a while. Lots of good questions this week, so thank you all for those. And yeah, it was a really, really good time to do it. What else? What's been going on in the world? Bunch of the same. Bunch of people not wearing their masks and getting this shit everywhere. So that's been cool.
Yeah. I did see something today that the people at Oxford who are trying to make a vaccine, apparently it's going really well. So.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah. So let's fucking hope. They already, I think they were already testing it on people. So
nice.
I don't know. I'm an idiot.
Well, before we get into the episode, this episode and all our episodes are brought to you by Pillar, our new subscription digital fan club service where you can get all things. The main, you get extra episodes of this podcast. If you enjoy and you'd like to support the podcast, you can do that there. We release unreleased demos. We do video chats, give you songs before anybody else, exclusive merchandise. Just basically all things the main, all in one place for $10 a month. It's a good way to support the band and get tons of things every single day. So if you would like to join, you can go to pillar.club and get all the info. and be a part of it. So,
Hell yeah.
Yes. Oh. Well, we will get into the show, but first another message from a sponsor and then the Q&A episode of the 8123 podcast coming your way. This is the first Q&A episode we've done in a little bit. Asked for some questions on Twitter, got a bunch. So we will dig into it and answer a bunch of your questions. This first one comes from at Eggs and Crap. That's an amazing handle. Out of all your albums, what album cover and overall art direction is your favorite and the least favorite? Super curious about this one. I just got some of your physical albums and I love looking through the artwork and photography in them. And my favorite album layout and artwork, I think You Are Okay. General, the vinyl for that one and the picture and everything looks pretty incredible.
Yeah. I remember when we first started talking about the concept for that cover and then Dirk just fucking nailed it. Just visually, it was exactly what I was thinking. And yeah. I remember getting the photo back and it just felt like so iconic, like right away. So yeah, that one definitely is really, really cool.
Yeah. I would say my least favorite. Well, maybe Lovely, Lovely Little Lonely. I think the album cover is one of the only ones that maybe just didn't come out exactly as I was imagining in my head. I don't know if because it's my feet on the cover that I have a different opinion on it. It's like harder to.
I thought your hands are on the cover, aren't they?
Or yeah, sorry, my hands. My feet are on the inside, the back.
Are they? Yeah. I think that was pretty miserable for you to make happen too. It was really cold. I felt so bad for you.
Yeah, it was very cold. We shot the photo in February in a outdoor pool, so it was very cool.
I had to do that. Like Forever Halloween was definitely because we had that little pool too and being painted. It was cold.
Oh yeah.
That one sticks out as something I really like that one too. My least favorite probably has to be the way we talk.
Yeah.
I think everything about that EP was just thrown together so quickly and it's not my favorite.
Next question from Adam Hastings. Who's producing the new record? What factors went into choosing a producer this time around? Well, this one is a little complicated, I guess. I would say technically this is a self-produced album. This is the first one that is like fully produced by us.
Yeah.
But there's a caveat there, I guess, that Colby Wedgeworth, we did some pre-production with him over Zoom chat. And he was able to kind of give us a little bit of guidance, obviously not that much because, we just did like an hour or two of a chat. And then Matt Keller, engineered the record for us and, definitely gave some suggestions as well. So I would say, 85% us. Mm-hmm. Completely producing and then some input from those other guys. So.
Yeah. It was definitely a different, different thing. The whole COVID thing I would say it changed it, but the plan was to have Colby do pre-pro with us, and then he would go away, and we would just finish it ourselves with Matt. We just ended up getting less time with Colby than we were initially thinking we would. But yeah, it was kind of always planned to have us do most of the production stuff ourselves anyway, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think choosing things, it's just whatever feels good at the time. I think right now we felt pretty confident that, you know, we could do it on our own with a little bit of help. And yeah, so we decided to go in that direction, and it was exciting and cool just to like to hear how things are coming back, that it was all done on our own.
Yeah, keeping with the album 8, do you have a favorite song on 8 so far, and can you drop a demo name? I mean, they're still all in demo name, I think. Like, yeah. I don't know if there's actually any titles. But one I really like is called Day 2. And it was one that we worked on with Colby a while back. What would that have been in the fall?
Yeah, it was right before the Mirror Tour.
And it was the second day that him, John, and Colby were working together, hence Day 2. But ever since that demo came and like we were working in the studio that day, it just had this feeling about it. And yeah, it's probably my favorite. It's probably my favorite song we've ever made. So yeah.
Yeah. I will agree with that. It's a song that's going to make you cry.
Yeah. It just has this, I don't know.
There's a weight to it. It feels heavy. It's emo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, listen, I just want the story behind Let's Eat Grandma.
So when we were recording Forever Halloween, we finished things early. And I don't know why we were still working, but I think maybe John had to finish some vocals or something. But so we had a whole like 2 days that we didn't do anything. And so at some point we ended up making a punk EP where I was playing drums, John was on vocals and bass, and then Kenny and Jared play guitar. I think you were figuring out like album art or mastering or something.
Yeah.
Something was going on where we were just trying to figure something out, and we just had time, and we just ended up just playing some punk songs and making them up on the spot. And Let's Eat Grandma was one of those songs.
Yep.
Yep. There it is. One take songs.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Favorite Taking Back Sunday song of all time.
Mm.
That's hard.
I have two.
Okay.
I remember when What's It Feel Like to Be a Ghost, they put a live version on their website, and hearing that, I was just like, this is so sick. But then when Make Damn Sure came out, it was just like it just sounded so big and it was so cool. It was just undeniably badass. And the video was so fucking cool. I don't know if you would ask me like, you know, 5 years ago what I would have said, but that song, I just can't forget how I felt the first time I heard it. I was just like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's insane. I'm going to go with something off Where You Want to Be, I think. That record blew my mind when I heard it for the first time.
Yeah. What was the song that Tom DeLonge did the video for that they don't play? I can't think of the name.
Oh, fuck.
I keep wanting to say Set Phasers this time, but that's the first song.
Yeah. This is going to bug me. I'm going to Google it. But I was going to say 180 by Summer, maybe. It was this Photograph is Proof. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. That is another one that I just... It's so cool. And they didn't play it forever, but then when we got to tour them on the 20-year, they played it every other night, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah. All right.
If you were a cake, what flavor would you be, Pat?
Vanilla. I'm boring.
Cheese.
Ooh. Cheese, but oh, like a cheesecake.
See, huh? You're going to be all weirded out. You just had to say it. And then like, oh. Pat, who's your biggest musical inspiration?
Might be you.
Wow.
That's a hard question. I don't know if you could pick just one. I would say like early on in general, I think the drive-through records era is the reason that I got so obsessed with music. You know, it's like I could have just been like a casual guy that was just kind of into music if that like scene hadn't been there with Newfound Glory and Finch and RX Bandits and the early November. And you know, if that wouldn't have been such like a movement that I could get a part of and watch the DVDs and like that, I think there's a chance that I would have just been into some bands but not been like obsessed with it and had it like change my whole life. So I think that maybe was, if I could pinpoint any time period or group of artists that made the biggest impact on my life, I would say it would be that.
I agree, but since I'll give another answer, because why not? I'll just think in just kind of things for the last few years for me. And they're not, I guess technically one is a musician, but I've always been so curious on like someone like Rick Rubin, who he's touched so many things that I love and like just everything that he's been a part of. Not, I'm sure there's stuff that weren't successful. I don't know, but something about whatever that dude does, and I don't even know what it is. I'm just so curious about it.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. He's just been a part of so many things that have impacted not just music, but just culture at the time. And that always interests me as a producer. And then same thing goes with like a Brian Eno, where I love the music he puts out, but the projects he's worked on as a producer are some of my favorite albums of all time. So something about those like weird wizard guys who you don't know exactly what they do, but they clearly do something and influence the people they're with at the time in such a great way that they make, you know, some of their best albums.
Yeah, for sure. This next question, what have been the pros and cons of writing during quarantine? Do you already have a favorite song you guys have written? I guess we already answered the second one. But the first one, I mean, the cons definitely were not being able to get together for a while there when we were supposed to be. But
I guess the pro of that was when we actually got together, it happened extremely fast.
Yeah.
Like we had, it was difficult because we're not, there's something about talking in person that you can get way more on the same page about, but just kind of everyone living in what they thought the album was going to be. And then when we got together, everyone being pretty close to the same idea was really awesome. So that was a con and also a pro in a weird way.
Yeah. I would say a big factor. So the, you know, the idea was is that we were going to work on the album, you know, just from home, over a long period of time. You know, where in the past, more so when we go to make a record, we move into a house together and we're focused 24 hours a day on it. And that wasn't the plan this time around. You know, the plan was to do it at home. So we were going to work more just like conventional hours, like you would if you were working at an office job. And because of the lockdown and because of us wanting to be safe, we did move into a house together for a month and a half, and we worked together 24 hours a day. So we kind of ended up being forced to work how we always do. And I think we kind of realized that that's just the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much more we could, you know, have gotten done. Things would have taken way longer. And, you know, when I'm working on
inspiration could have gone away. Like we were talking about it, like, a while ago, but like so many times when we were working, if we would have been like, okay, we're done at 6:30 or 7 or something, like there's things that happened after those times that changed the album. And if we would have been like, oh, I gotta, like, if this all didn't happen the way it did, like, oh, I'm gonna go to dinner with my parents, like, I gotta leave, some of that stuff just wouldn't have happened. It ended up being, yeah, I think exactly what you said. It's like we realized that there's something about kind of zoning in for a while, just for however many hours a day, just doing it and not have any other things to kind of get in your way.
Is the move, yeah.
What is your favorite thing about doing the podcast?
Oh, man. I just like how we can do anything we want and there aren't like restrictions on it, and we can talk about anything and anything, and every episode can be completely different, and yeah, I think it's cool. And I guess I enjoy podcasts so much that I feel honored to be a part of that, to have one is cool.
Yeah. And the fact that people listen is really awesome. Cause I know like, yeah, exactly. I like them so much. And I love learning about my favorite stuff. So if we happen to be your favorite band, I would think it'd be pretty cool to like, just kind of get behind the scenes stuff that we just kind of say. But my favorite thing to do on the podcast is the song breakdowns. It's just because I don't re-listen to our albums ever. Like I'm not like putting them on in my car, so it's like a cool way to go back and remember your thought process and like what you're trying to do, and then like how you might look at something as like not totally getting it right, and then listening back, you know, years later, be like, oh, we kind of did nail that thing, or man, we missed it. If we only would have done that, it would have changed. So it like lets me re-listen and learn from ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. And then maybe this will be the last question for the Q&A episode. What song or songs of yours are you most embarrassed of?
I really don't like Fuel of the Fire. That one just comes, sticks out as like something like, oh.
See, I don't mind that one as much. I
think like everything about like the high school dancey feeling of it, and like, and then the lyrics. I don't know. It's one that I think sucks.
Give it to me.
See, everyone, you talk shit about that one so much, but it's straight up. It's just, or it's Free Fallin', the bridge of Free Fallin' guitar part just turned into a song.
Yeah, it's just, I guess I don't even remember how the chorus goes, so.
It's as like 80s bullshit as we get, like in like hair metal-y. It's not very good, but I just hate, yeah.
How does the chorus go though?
Give me one, take one, give me all you got, give it to me.
Oh yeah. I mean, it kind of sounds like Pour Some Sugar on Me or something.
Yeah, no, I totally. I hate that shit. But I would rather listen to that than feel.
Yeah.
That's me.
Well, there it is. I think besides those handfuls of examples, I enjoy most everything. So, Well, thank you all for listening. Thanks for your questions. We will talk to you very soon. This was a good one. This was fun. Have a wonderful rest of your day, evening, morning, whenever you're listening. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Made a mess of